Blog Talk Radio.
Host Merle Exit. I went on at 6 o'clock tonight Eastern Standard Time because of a shift that's coming on. I'm in New York City, raining, it's still light out, but rainy days and Thursdays can get me down. Before I tell you what's scheduled, I just wanted to put out there my cat Mallory. She will no longer be co-hosting as I had to send her to Kitty Heaven. But it's, as far as the show tonight, so we're having Mina Newman, executive chef of, I think it's Christie's Steakhouse. That's in Astoria in Queens, in New York City. She was on the show Chopped on the Food Network channel. And then we're going to have Scott Cecil from a company called Save Your World, which is, it's not a task, a company that specializes in these absolutely fabulous skin and hair products that are green, so to speak, not color green, but having to do with the rainforest. And I didn't add this to my show yet, but it looks like, well, there's a contest going on having to do with writing something about the most miserable, I guess, a miserable vacation that turned out to be funny. And we're going to have, I'm not sure, it's, somebody's going to come on to talk about this and to talk about this particular contest that's going to happen. So that's what we're set for this tonight's show. And, of course, since I'm not allowed to have any, let's hear a word from our sponsor. What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies. And that's no fairy tale. Yep, and you get that at brownies.com. I'm trying. Yeah, usually when I'm having an upset, that's the first thing I go for is chocolate. But I ran out of the chocolate, my chocolate portions of that I have on Nutrisystem. So at least I can dream about the brownies. So let's go to my first guest. I believe, Mina, are you on the air here?
Yes, I am.
I am, Mina. So
hi.
First, introduce yourself to my crowd.
My name is Mina Newman, and I'm the executive chef at Christo's Steakhouse in Astoria, Queens.
Now, is it Christo's or Christie's? I forgot to look it up. I was just typing stuff.
Oh, it's Christo's.
Oh, Christo's. All right, then I'll make sure afterwards that I put it in my the description with the correct name. So what? So what had happened, by the way, was that as I was watching the show Chopped, I saw you competing, and I went, she looks familiar, name sounds familiar. Okay, I remember, got it. So I have to have her on my show to talk. And I was hoping you would win, and I'm glad that you did. I was rooting for you the whole time. They always seem to chop a female. I'm just a pattern I've noticed. I know it's not may not be on purpose, but they always seem to chop a female, and I'm going, come on. So what? I wanted to just kind of tell us, like, we don't want it, anything that you're, I don't say not supposed to say. I mean, you know, I understand, you know, because of TV, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
How did you get to be on Chopped? I mean, how did it all, you know?
Well, and the publicist for the restaurant asked me to go in, audition for a show, for the show. And we actually didn't know what the name of the show was. We knew that it was a competitive show, but we didn't know anything else about it. Of course, I knew it was for the Food Network, so I auditioned for it, and then I guess I got the part.
So, in other words, when you auditioned, were there any thoughts that you might have been on a different type of a show? Like, what's the one that they do? The one that you in the kitchen there, you know, the...
Oh, the Iron Chef?
Iron Chef.
I definitely knew it wasn't that one.
Oh, okay. But you did get that it was a competition, or you weren't sure at that?
I knew it was a competitor. I knew it was a competition.
Okay. And so you said, what the hell, I'm going to go for it. So, I mean, they got in touch with you, or was there some...
Yes.
Okay.
They got in touch with me.
That's interesting. Did you ask them, like, how they chose you or how they got, you know, what got them to do that?
My name was submitted by the publicist of the restaurant.
Okay. So, in other words, that's what basically is going on, is names are submitted by the publicist. And, and I know who the publicist is. That's very good. They got a long list of clients. So that got to, they must have been thrilled when you got chosen.
And yeah, they were very thrilled.
Have they celebrated when you won, by the way?
Yeah, we all celebrated. It was great. It was really fun.
Oh, okay. So tell me, like, what was it like? So now that the Food Network, you know, and they have you go there, when you auditioned, did you know that you would be competing against the other three people? I knew you would. I mean, but at what point did you know that?
No, when you get there, they tell you, which is at 6 a.m., by the way, they tell you what the basis of the show is.
Right.
They tell you about the show, and you meet your other competitors, and they explain the show. So you get there, and you get ready, and then they walk you through the pantry just to see what's there, and then you're basically just everybody's secluded in their own little room. Everybody's confined to a small room, and you just wait there until it starts.
So how much, in other words, from the time that you got there to, like, audition, or in other words, that they said they're choosing you. From the time that they got that, yes, we're choosing you, until you first start to even do one preparation, approximately how much, I mean, has a day gone by, or an hour gone by, or anything?
No, we auditioned in, like, August, probably, or
right.
No, probably September. And then we shot in October,
mm-hmm.
and then the show just aired in March.
Oh, wow. So in other words, you could have celebrated a long time ago.
Right, no, but you're on the confidentiality.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, of course, because it's a reality show, and you don't want to do that. But that was pretty cool. So now, the first time when you meet the people that you're competing against, I mean, so in other words, right on the spot, they say, okay, now we're doing the show, and let's go. Right. Is that the kind of thing? Oh, okay.
Right, exactly. This is how it goes. Look in your baskets, open your baskets, and time starts now.
Right. Have you ever had to do anything like that before? Any kind of competition? Have you ever entered?
A long time ago, I was on another Food Network show called Ready, Set, Cook.
I see.
And that's where I had to, it was not the same thing. I mean, it's still a secret ingredient, but you kind of shoot five different shows.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All in the same day.
Wow. And, like, when you did that, were you, with the Ready, Set, Cook, was that a competition?
Yes. Just one other person you're competing against.
Oh, okay. And should I ask what the results were?
Yeah. I won. It's split. I won three and I lost two.
Oh, great. That's cool.
Yes.
So in other words, Food Network already kind of met you before, so to speak, because you were on.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've done a couple of other things on television prior to that.
Oh, that's great. Is this, it must be exciting, huh?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It gets nerve-wracking, but it definitely is exciting.
Now, what I want to kind of to go into, is this with the other ones that you competed, were they money wins? Any of them money wins?
No, not at all. There was no money won like that.
So this is the first time that you finally got $10,000 out of it, huh?
Yeah, isn't that great?
Did everybody take your money and run already?
Yeah, no, not yet.
So, what I want to get into next, of course, is your cuisine, your signature things, I mean, when you go to a steakhouse, like, you know, they go, oh, all right, so I got a steak. All right, so what? You know what I mean? But obviously, you're not in charge of just cooking the steaks.
Right. No, we do. Crystal Steakhouse is certainly an American steakhouse, American-based steakhouse with Greek appetizers and sides. So we have all the traditional cuts, but in addition to the steakhouse fare, classic American steakhouse fare, we also do Greek items. For example, we have a grilled octopus on the menu. On the menu, we have a grilled calamari. We have the Greek dips. We have a Greek salad. So we have a good array of appetizers.
Right.
So it definitely is different.
And what about the side from the entrees? I mean, if you're not cooking a steak, what else is available?
Yeah, we have a lot of seafood. We have tuna, we have salmon, we have whole live lobsters in the house. We have great king crab legs. So it definitely is a well-rounded restaurant. You know, if you're not into steak, then you could certainly order something from our seafood. We have great lamb chops. We have these incredibly large shrimp that we serve.
Right.
So it's very well rounded. And then as far as the sides go, we have like a creamy orzo dish, we have spinach or feta, we have lobster mashed potatoes.
Uh-huh. Lobster mashed potatoes, huh?
Yep.
Wow. I mean, so in other words, the thought in my head, is it just like mashed potatoes with lobster meat in it? Is that...
And basil, right.
Okay, wow. So that's pretty cool. And I can I assume you use real mashed potatoes?
Absolutely.
Well, there are places, you know, and it's funny. I'll go to a restaurant, and, you know, when they serve mashed potatoes, and I'll say, is it real mashed potatoes? They'll look at me, they say, yes. And then I could, there's a consistency and a taste that I know it's not. And what happens is it's not the... I'm not asking the chef. I'm asking like the waiter, you know, and it, you know, they think it's real. They don't, you know, I mean, it's like, of course it's potatoes. So the fact that it flakes, you know, they think it's, you know, that's the same thing. You know?
Oh, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah.
I think it's the same.
Yeah. That's why many times what happens is that when I'm eating at a restaurant and when I ask a waiter, and if I'm not, if they don't look like they're totally clear, I say, can you do me a favor and ask the chef? And then they come out and say, oh, no, I guess it's not, or, you know, something like that, you know, one of the things I tend to ask, because I'm a chocoholic.
Uh-huh.
I will always ask, can you ask the chef what bulk chocolate he uses in the desserts? So this way I know what to expect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if they turn around and they say, oh, we use Hershey's, I go, all right, let me pass on that dessert.
Yeah, not worth the calories.
Yeah, you know, Calibo, you know, I mean, let me hear, you know, things like that.
There's thousands of better chocolates.
Which one?
There's thousands of better chocolates.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Oh, yeah. Having gone to enough chocolate shows, I've really been able to taste a lot of them. Now, is there... what kind of desserts do you have?
We have, speaking of chocolate, a soft chocolate cake that's, you know, cake on the outside and then malted on the inside.
One of those.
Yeah, those are great.
Yeah.
And we have a chocolate bottomed creme brulee, so the chocolate ganache on the bottom with the custard baked on top and then caramelized. And we have a poached pear, and we have a banana martini. It's banana custard with crumbled biscotti and a caramelized banana over it.
I'm getting hungry. Are you at the restaurant right now?
No, I am in between our two locations.
Oh, two locations?
No, we don't have it. It's not another steakhouse. It's an event space that I run as well for them.
Oh, really? Okay. I'll talk to you about that another time, too. But so now, being as the executive chef, are you doing any of the cooking at all, or are you basically saying, you, do this. You know how to do this. Do this right.
Yeah, no, I still get to do cooking. I think I would, you know, I would certainly miss it if I didn't get to do any cooking.
And now, if I said to you, like, I'm coming to your restaurant, I want to do a tasting, I want all your signature dishes, what kind of things would you serve me?
I would certainly serve you the grilled octopus. I would serve you probably...
How is that made, by the way? Other than just throwing it on the grill, is there...
No, it's braised. The octopus is braised for about 4 hours before.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
And then it is cleaned, and then it's grilled. Marinated and then grilled.
Wow. So it's marinated in seasonings, is that it? Or
marinated in red wine vinegar, black pepper, and olive oil.
Wow. So it must be really nice and tender when you eat it.
Absolutely. It's very tender.
Okay. So now, again, continue. I like this. I love the describing of the food so that people, when they listen to this, they can go, Yes. Go ahead. Continue.
And then one of my signatures is I do a lot of crusted steaks. So one that we're running right now is a Roquefort cheese crust with a Greek sherry sauce. And so I have that. And then I would do definitely the lobster mashed potatoes. And for dessert, I love the chocolate bottom creme brulee.
Wow. So now the particular steak, so you're marinating it, or you just put it, is this a seasoning?
No, we don't marinate our steaks. Usually if it's a good piece of meat, you never marinate it. All of our steaks, I mean, it's so easy to just think that steaks, you know, you open the package and then you've just cooked the steak. But the steaks are difficult to find a good source for prime beef. First of all, there's only a certain percentage, a small percentage, I would say less than 10% of all meat cattle in the world are fabricated and are found to be prime cattle. So everything else is either marked choice or select, and then below that. So that alone makes it difficult with so much demand. Supply is sometimes scarce. So
right.
we have to find the goods, we have to source. We age all of our meat in-house. So the investment is so much larger when you have to age it 3 weeks out. You know, we've invested in the meat, you know, 3 weeks prior to putting it on the plate.
Right. Oh.
So it's a big thing. You know, it's temperature controlled. It's a lot. So anyway, so just that alone makes you want to have a really great age steak.
Yeah, I bet. and as far as now, so in terms of like when you source out the fish. I hadn't spoken about it on the air, but because I'm doing Nutrisystem, and what happens is that then it says you have to have some extra protein. And what I decided to do was, all right, I want to have some salmon. And I personally am fine, unless you know somebody or whatever. I mean, it's very difficult to get something really fresh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what had happened was that I had been buying salmon at Trader Joe's, which is all flash frozen.
Uh-huh.
I said, all right, let me taste this. And I think it's the coho salmon that I happened to purchase. And I said, you know, let me just cook it up, not add anything as I usually do. I'm curious to see how it tastes. And interestingly enough, like, it tasted fresh and fine. I didn't even need to put lemon salt or anything. And I kind of thought to myself, I wonder, because the fact that it's flash frozen, that it winds up being better than not necessarily getting, I don't mean to not get it fresh, but in terms of the source. In other words, as opposed to going to like, you know, Stop and Shop and getting a piece of salmon.
Right. I mean, well, it depends upon where you go. You know, Trader Joe's is a great, great supermarket. I mean, they are top of the line all around. It's a busy place, so the inventory is very well rotated. And they stand by their products. So that, number one, sets them aside. Whereas you go to Stop and Shop, I think it's a little dicey. I don't think that's the place I would buy seafood from.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But where do you guys, let's say, get your seafood? Do you go to, what's that area? I mean, I forgot what they do now. I mean, it used to be around South Street Seaport.
No, now it's in Hunts Point. It's in the Bronx now.
Okay, so you're there. Do you have to do it? You send somebody else gets to
no,
do it?
No, we buy from a fish purveyor, and he goes to the market.
Oh, okay, so you don't even have to go there. So you have to rely on the fact that he's doing the right thing for you.
Right. Well, we check the product when it comes in.
Oh, okay. At some point, I'm going to have you on at another point to talk about things like when you're buying, the things to look for when you're buying meat, when you're buying fish and stuff like that. But we'll do that at another point, which I think would be a great topic, huh?
Yeah, I think that would be great. Very helpful for people.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's get back to this. I want everybody to drool a little more. So let's get back to in terms of your dishes that are there dishes that you turned around and said, this is what we're having, as opposed to, I mean, do you make that decision? You say,
every day.
Every day. Do you make the decision, let's say, you're fooling around and you say, let me try this with this and see how this tastes, kind of thing. Do you get to do that, you know, and then say, I like the way this combines, the flavors, et cetera. Let's put this on the menu.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I mean, there are times we always take it out for a test drive. We always put things at specials prior to them going on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where we go as far as, you know, putting things together. But, and then, you know, if it sells as a special, it certainly most of the time works as a menu item.
Right.
That's how we create dishes.
So in other words, let's say if I'm coming to the restaurant today, aside from the regular menu, I'll see some specials as well?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Now, I have heard, let's see if this is true. that when people order specials that they probably better off ordering, well, there's two sides. This is the two sides I've heard, that they're better ordering specials because they know that they're fresh, et cetera, et cetera. Or the other side is, oh, my God, we need to get rid of the tuna. So make it a special. Where do you see specials in general? Not necessarily yours.
No, I just see where you can see the chef's creativity is more in the special than you do on the day-to-day menu.
Right, but do you see it as you, so for you it's creativity versus we have too much
product the
yeah,
product.
Yeah, too much of something. Oh my God, we ordered the halibut instead of the salmon. Put halibut on the menu quick and make it special.
Right.
Which I'm sure probably happens though, huh?
Of course it happens all the time.
Yeah.
In every restaurant it always happens.
Okay, yeah.
Somewhere that doesn't happen.
So, do you think you're gonna what kind of fame, or have you had any kind of fame happening because of Chopped?
No kind of fame. A couple of people have said they say, "Oh, were you on a television show?" And I said, "Yes," but it hasn't been. No, that's been kind of normal.
So, in other words, you haven't gotten people that purposely, has anybody come to the restaurant or made reservations?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Just because you've been on the show?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good
publicity.
Sure, that's wonderful.
It's by the way, is Stephen Hall handling you?
Yes, Stephen Hall handles
it. Okay, yeah, they're so great. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be going to the chocolate show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, that's one of the things that they handle, the chocolate show, amongst other. I could usually, when they have a restaurant, I can usually rely on the fact that the food will be good. Yeah, that's one of the things with them. I don't think there might have been maybe one restaurant just in terms of that I went to that I said, oh, all right, you know, whatever. But basically, I enjoy, you know, who they get. I would love to go to all of them. But so now let's get to so do you have a pastry chef, or do you get to do that as well?
No, we have a pastry chef.
Okay, so basically with the pastry chef, are you making anything, or you're basically turning around to the pastry chef and say, this is your job, you take care of desserts?
Exactly.
Okay. And
that's her job.
Okay. What's her name?
Her name is Hilda Torero.
Okay. Listen, we got to get in two females. It's Women's History Month.
What?
Yes. and just to give people an idea, in case anybody happens to be coming to New York and wants to go, what's the website?
It's CristosSteakhouse.com.
Okay, so it's spelled.
All one word.
Okay, and the correct spelling for Christos is.
Christos.
Mm-hmm.
House, StekHouse.
Okay, so CristosSteakhouse
.com.
And when is the hours? Are they open every day?
Yes, it's open 7 days a week,
mm-hmm.
from Monday through Friday from 4 to 11, and on the weekend, on Friday, it's open from 4 to midnight, and on Sunday, it's open 3 to 11.
Okay, that's so fabulous. Mina, it's just so great to have you on. And again, I'm really happy that you won, and
thank
I have to, I definitely have to make my way over there, because I think I wrote something about the resident. It was back, I looked on my thing, it was February of 2006. So it's time for me to return and do another tasting. So and another writing, of course. So
what?
Yeah. So okay. Again, it's great having you, and you know, we'll be. I'll, as I said, I'll probably get in touch with you when I, you know, in terms of when we talk about a particular, you know, subject of buying, how to buy food and what to look for and that kind of a thing, because I think that would be pretty cool. And,
okay.
And I got, wait, did you say on the show that you have a little baby? Is that what I heard?
I do. I have an eight month old. Her name is Mia. Her name is Mia Angelina Newman. That's the deal.
Mia Angelina Newman. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So yes, and so give the baby a kiss for me.
Will do.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Nice talking to you.
All right. Bye bye. Ah, yes, I know. I definitely have to go there. I have to go there. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a quick, let's see. Let's just get one of my sponsors on here before I go to my next person.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay, if I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
I think that commercial is just so cute. So, all right, we're going on with our next segment. Now, do I have Scott on the air?
Meryl, can you hear me?
this is not a Verizon commercial, no. Yes, I hear you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I have to tell you, like, when I got the basket and, like, just the aroma just right through the basket. I love it. So as I'm gabbing about that, let's tell everybody on who you are, what you do.
All right. Well, my name is Scott Sussel. I'm the president and founder of a company called Save Your World. Save Your World, first and foremost, is a conservation organization, and we are working to protect some of the most pristine habitat that is left in the world. And we're focusing on a 200,000-acre rainforest area down in South America now, as well as a 100-million-acre marine sanctuary in the South Pacific. And what we do is we generate funds.
I have to ask you to talk a little louder.
Sure. What we do is in order to generate funds for these conservation projects, we sell all-natural personal care products that are made with organic ingredients.
Okay. So now, for instance, what kind of products?
Well, personal care products from lip balm to shampoo to conditioner to body wash to body lotion to bar soap to body wash. And we're going to be rolling out a color-safe shampoo and conditioner in the next 30 days. We are working on a sunscreen. So it's a full line of personal care products that we offer today.
Wow. And now, so explain what makes these products green, so to speak.
Well, Save Your World, being an environmentally conscious organization, focuses a great deal on the ingredients and the packaging that make up our products. So all of our ingredients are all natural. We were the first company to put organic yerba mate and organic aloe together in a line of products for personal care. That's what makes our products unique. All of the packaging is made out of recycled or recyclable packaging. We try to limit the amount of packaging that we use for all of our products, so you're not going to see plastic wrap on any of our products. The main thing that makes our products, though, really environmentally friendly is our motto, which is one product equals 1 acre of rainforest saved for 1 year. So built into the business model is the cost that it takes to preserve 1 acre of rainforest for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And that truly is unique in this case. And frankly, I think it's unique in any industry, in any business for that matter.
Now, of course, what it really kind of boils down to for people is they go, yeah, save. How are the products themselves? Okay, so let's talk about the scents of the products.
Okay. Mm. Well, the scents from the products, the aromas that make up our products are really derived from pure essential oils. We have three main scents. For example, Oasis Fruit is a blend of about four different essential oils, grapefruit, tamarind, tangerine, and ginger. Rainforest, which is kind of our signature scent, is really a very exciting scent. There's a little something in it for everybody. There's lime, peppermint, cucumber, jasmine, ylang, blackcurrant, lavender, chamomile, and then sandalwood, cedar, and patchouli. And then our third scent for those that like florals is what we call Regal Blossom, and that's a blend of rose, geranium, and lavender. And there are some other essential oils in there as well. But for those people that like something that's unscented, we make an unscented body lotion and an unscented bar soap too. And that we call Pure Mist.
Oh, so Pure Mist, that's the unscented form, is Pure Mist.
Correct, yes.
Okay. I was kind of wondering what, I saw something of Pure Mist and I was wondering what that scent was. Okay. And I'm going, this doesn't really have much of a scent. I wonder what this, what is, you know.
A lot of people enjoy scents. So we have three main scents. We have a fruit, which is Oasis Fruit. We have kind of a gender neutral scent, which everybody loves, which is Rainforest, which has, you know, a little something in it for everybody.
Right.
And we have a floral Regal Blossom. And then a lot of people, when it comes to body lotion and bar soap, some people might have a sensitivity to scents and aromas or even essential oils for that matter. And so we designed Pure Mist to cater to those customers.
Right. And by the way, I really can't get over that scent of the rainforest. I mean, it's so good.
Well, it took us a while, but I think we really tried to make it so that it was appealing to both men and women, and it is.
Yeah. It is, yes. It's got that kind of a scent that I wouldn't say it's either masculine or feminine. Yeah.
No, when you put, you know, lime, peppermint, cucumber, those are all very attractive scents to everybody. We just put hints of florals in there, like jasmine and lavender and chamomile. And then we just put hints of some woody scents like sandalwood, cedar, and patchouli, just hints of them. And everybody picks up different notes, and so we think, you know, rainforest is so good because it's such a broad blend of essential oils. Everybody picks up the note that they really like and prefer, and so that's why everybody likes rainforest.
Yeah. So now, in terms of the items, so they come. You have this bars of soap, and then can people get, like, if they want to get a sampler? Is there like sampler kits kind of thing?
Well, what we can do, we do sell on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We have 4 ounce bottles that people can buy of most of our liquid products. We also have smaller bar soaps. We have 2 ounce bar soaps.
Right.
If you go into a store, you might see an 8 or a 12 ounce. So we do have what I would consider to trial packages that you could put together on the website. We have a gift ideas section on our website, and there you really can find many gift bags, little samplers for soaps, little samplers for the liquid products that would be a good way for customers to trial our products. We have a small Hostess gift bag for only $19.99 that really has a little something in it for everybody. And within that package are actual small sample packets for all the different liquid products in it.
Now, how long have you been with the company? I mean, did you start this company, Save Your World?
Yep, we started Save Your World back in 2006 with a group of family and friends who are, you know, really interested in protecting the last remaining pristine habitat. And we've evolved into selling personal care products, but we've expanded the business into selling electronics and sporting goods and outdoor equipment and books on the website just to help generate more funding. The marine sanctuary that we entered into this year that will be announced, there is a large international marine conference taking place in Washington, D.C. in May. So during the month of April, we'll be talking more about the marine sanctuary, but it's the size of the state of California. It's the largest marine sanctuary in the world. But we were able to do that because we were successful last year in protecting our rainforest in South America. We now have the ability to fund another project. We're not going to get into too many other projects than the two that we're in.
Right.
But, it's a good focus.
How often do you get to go to the rainforest?
Once a year. We go down there to make sure that what we are saying to everybody and what is being told to us is actually taking place. So it's that old adage of trust but verify. So we go there just to make sure that it, in fact, is in its pristine state, just as we've been told, and to make sure that it continues to be in that pristine state for today's endangered species, but also for future generations.
So in other words, was your first idea was to deal with the rainforest, and this was like, oh, here's a great way to do something? Is that how this came?
The first idea was really to protect the rainforest from the standpoint that really, you know, the rainforest is, you know, the single source, single greatest source of air that we breathe today. It's the source for key ingredients in today's medicines, and it's the source for key ingredients for medicines that we have yet to invent. It's also important to protect the rainforest to help endangered species that exist today, like the area that we protect helps protect the jaguar, the black caiman, the harpy eagle. There's lots of wildlife that we protect today, and it was important to get an area, 200,000 acres, which is 312 square miles. You needed an area that vast to support some of the species that we were interested in protecting. In addition, we also believe that it's important to work with indigenous people, and so there are three communities in the surrounding area of our conservation concession that we also help support.
So in other words, after you took on the task, you sat around and said, here's a great idea, let's do some products, skincare products.
Exactly. And, you know, we started off with soap, and we slowly grew the line. And, you know, now what we probably have is about 2 to 4 products that we're launching every year now. We're introducing new scents. We've launched a hotel line so that hotels can carry our personal care products as their amenities. And with that, what we've done is we've structured a program for hotels that carry our products where every night that a guest stays in the hotel, that guest will actually, in fact, be saving an acre of rainforest for a year. So just as in our retail side where we have the motto, one product equals 1 acre of rainforest saved for 1 year,
right,
we translated that to the hotel world, and the motto is one room for one night equals 1 acre of rainforest saved for 1 year. So we're excited about that. So we'll just continue to roll out new things as time progresses, and we'll just take on more and more responsibility of protecting the areas that are the most pristine habitat that's left in the world.
Right. Is there a particular, in terms of the hotels, is there any of the chains of restaurants that are doing it?
Well, we've got, we're working with, you know, we launched this in the fourth quarter of last year, so we're just getting started, but we're already speaking with many large chains of hotels. They're very interested in what we're doing, and basically, even though the economy, you know, we've got a little hiccup right now based upon what's happened and transpired with the economy, but still, even though people are becoming very cost conscious, they're very interested in doing something that is sustainable for the environment, and that's where our program really comes in, because, first of all, the products are packaged in paper bottles that are made of 75% paper, and we're really excited about this innovative design that we've come up with for the hotel amenity line, because if you think of a 100-room hotel in 10 years, just with the little plastic bottles, that hotel will generate 7.7 tons of plastic that does not typically get recycled. And so this innovative solution is a 92% reduction in waste after use. So it's an incredibly environmentally friendly product, not only from the standpoint that it's an all-natural with organic ingredient product that's going in, but the packaging itself is so much more environmentally friendly than what you'll see in hotels today.
Yes, I see that in the samplers. I thought that was an absolutely great idea to have that. By the way, I'm gonna call you later to give you some ideas as a journalist and the things I've looked into of places that might wish to use. But anyway, to get back to this, now can people buy your stuff in the stores? Any stores at this point?
Our products can be found nationwide. We've got some terrific partners on the retail side. Vitamin Shoppe nationwide carries Save Your World products. They were one of the first partners to sign up with Save Your World. Whole Foods Market nationwide, they carry our products. And you'll find regional places carrying our products, and you'll find local health food and natural product stores. And you can go on to saveyourworld.com and go to the store locator.
Oh, that's good.
Your zip code, and you can find a location that's close to where you live.
Okay. And just, you know, like just offhand, have you like looked to see, let's say that I have a choice of going to Whole Foods or ordering online. Am I getting a better price on either one? Just as a consumer.
You're typically getting a better price if you go to Vitamin Shoppe or to Whole Foods or to one of our local retailers from the standpoint that you're not going to be paying shipping.
Okay.
We charge for shipping on our website. First and foremost, we're a conservation organization. So basically every dollar that we spend outside of our conservation mission is exactly that. So shipping costs money. We just basically charge for shipping on our website. But if you go into Whole Foods, you know, you don't pay for the shipping. Now you'll pay the sales tax, or if there is a state sales tax. But we charge those state sales tax on our website as well. And typically our website will have the suggested retail price. But sometimes you'll go into Whole Foods or Vitamin Shoppe, and they'll be doing scan downs or coupons that you can participate in. And so the price on the shelf at our retail partners will typically be lower than what you can find on our website.
Oh, okay. But they won't have that. They're not going to carry, like Whole Foods is not going to carry the sampler things, right? They basically,
correct.
You know.
Whole Foods, what you won't find in the retail space is you won't find the gift bags. You won't find the sporting goods. You won't find the outdoors equipment. You won't find the books. You won't find the electronics. You will just find our personal care products.
Okay. Now, I'm just curious because I didn't look in terms of like this sporting goods or electronics. How is I know you mentioned something. So how is that having to do with green or the rainforest? And
that's a great question. And the reason why we've come up with on Save Your World on the SaveYourWorld.com, you'll see a section called the Rainforest Mall. Under the Rainforest Mall, you'll find Save Your Mind, Save Your Outdoors, Save Your Sports, and Save Your Electronics.
Oh.
And basically, what we've done is we've given people the ability to buy products that they would buy every day.
Right. But in terms of the products as themselves, are there any? Is there any particular thing? Like when I went to the Green Products event, would one find any of these products at the event, or is it basically that they are products and then that people normally buy and part of it is, in other words, being donated to Save Your World?
Let me give you an example to answer your question. On Save Your Sports, on any part of the Rainforest Mall, 5% of the purchase price goes toward our conservation mission. So you always know exactly what is being generated for your purchase. And every $25 that you spend on the Rainforest Mall saves 1 acre of rainforest for 1 year.
Right.
Let's say, for example, your school, your child's school, wanted to buy a piece of field maintenance equipment. to, for example, do the lines of a soccer field, football field, lacrosse field, field hockey field, or whatever type of sport. You can actually buy, your school could buy, the field maintenance equipment. Now, you can't make field maintenance equipment in an environmentally friendly manner. But what we're doing is we are giving people the ability to buy things that they need that might not necessarily have an environmental component to it from a manufacturing standpoint. But by buying it through Save Your World, you are deriving a benefit for the environment. So what
Got
we're
it.
Trying to do is we're trying to give people the ability to buy things and purchase things that they normally would buy that don't necessarily have anything to do with the environment, except for the fact when they change their purchase behavior and purchase it through Save Your World, that in turn will generate a benefit for the environment.
Right, got it. Yeah, and by the way, I'm just thinking about this. If one went to the rainforest, like it because of, I guess, the trees and all of that, do you find, let's say, that, I'm just saying, like, you breathe better? That's in my head. I don't know if that's true. Would that happen?
The air is certainly cleaner. Where our rainforest conservation concession is. Without a doubt, it is certainly cleaner there. Yes, that is true.
I mean, would it be like if you're coming from, well, obviously the New York City or Los Angeles or someplace where there's, yes, where the air is just so wonderful. I mean, would you like go into the rainforest and go, you know, like take a deep breath and like, you know, go, Would it be that noticeable?
You would definitely notice a difference. You would definitely notice a difference. At night, you know, there's a lot of talk about light pollution. At night, it's amazing the stars and what you can see because it's, you know, where our conservation concession is, you know, really nobody lives. There are arguably parts on our conservation concession where no human has ever walked before. So,
wow.
It is really in the heart of the jungle, so to speak, and it is absolutely more pristine. I mean, if you wanted to, you could dip your cup in the water, and you could drink it if you would like.
Well, now that's good, and
that's
it's
very pristine.
Would you say that that's better water than you if you had a filter?
If you have a filter,
yeah.
You know, every time that I go down there, I use a microfilter for every time that I go down there.
Okay.
And, you know, you just basically, you're cleaning out some natural bacteria that your body's not used to.
Oh, okay.
People that are down there all the time, they can drink the water, their bodies become used to it.
Uh-huh.
But being not from there, your body probably would not be used to that bacteria. So we always filter the water that we drink.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So, let's get back to the products. Are you finding more and more people are learning about it and saying and is there to compare it if people are like saying, well, what is it compared to in terms of smell or whatever, you know, what line or you know what I'm saying? Is there
what we've tried to do is we've tried to come up from a scent standpoint. We tried to come up with scents that are unique to Save Your World and the Save Your World brands. What I can do is I can tell you, you know, we've tried to make our products we've achieved all natural with organic ingredients. But what we've tried to do is we've tried to develop products that are best in class in each category.
Right.
So that, you know, even if you, I can't even believe you would, but hypothetically, if you didn't believe in our environmental mission, you would buy these products anyway from the standalone fact that the products are that well made. So, you know, I think our lip balm is the best lip balm on the marketplace. Our shampoo, people tell me, is the best shampoo on the marketplace in the natural space. Same with our conditioner. Our body lotion, which is rich in shea butter, everybody raves about that. The body wash with all organic oils, everybody says it's the best body wash on the marketplace. So what we tried to do is we've tried to create products from a scent standpoint that are truly unique to Save Your World that you're not going to find anywhere else. And we tried to make products that are best in class in every single category.
Okay. I love it. I really do.
Glad you do. Now we just need to, you know, make people, as many people aware as, of what we're doing as possible, because, you know, the more you buy, the more we save, and vice versa, and the more you save.
Right.
So,
well, but also, like, in terms of that, again, what winds up being important to people is, well, does the product really work? Does the product really smell nice, et cetera, et cetera? And I can vouch for it. At least I can, anyway. That's for sure. I was like, again, with that rainforest one, I'm going, can I just, like, I think I'll just put it all over my body and walk around outside and see if anybody, like, goes, what do you have on? I haven't done that yet. I've done it on my hands, you know.
Well, people notice it, you know, when you shampoo with our products, you know, your hair smells terrific. If you like fruits, it'll smell like Oasis fruit, which is just wonderful. Rainforest, like you like. But people who love florals, you know, it's wonderful to, our body lotion stays with you, our shampoo stays with you. So what we've tried to do is we've tried to make products that really last with you during the day.
Good. That's great. But you don't, do you find, have you ever, like, tested in terms of, say, people that have allergies, that seem to react better to your products?
Well, what we've done with any product that we don't wash off in the shower, like our body lotion and our lip balms, both those products are dermatologist tested. People have told us with certain skin conditions like eczema that our products have helped out. People with certain scalp conditions that might have a dry scalp, they've said that our shampoo is very moisturizing, and in fact, you know, they've stopped using some products that are specifically made for dry scalp conditions and just solely focused on our shampoos because their scalp has been that responsive to our all-natural product with organic ingredients. So there's a lot of benefits that can be derived from all-natural products that have organic ingredients in it, I believe.
Okay. All right, did I miss anything?
No, I think we've had a pretty comprehensive conversation about what we do. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you. There are some other things that about Save Your World. You know, we sell anything we sell on our website saves at least 1 acre of rainforest for a year. There are things like green wristbands that we sell where 100% of the profit goes toward our conservation mission. And we've tried to set the bar from a transparency standpoint. We're trying to do something for the environment here better than anybody else has done before. And I think we've achieved that. And the level of transparency that we provide all of our customers, I think, is really second to none. You can go onto our website. You can read the financial overview about how the funding takes place. You can see exactly what we contribute to our conservation missions for every single product. So what we've done is we've built a business here that is completely transparent. And the more you learn about Save Your World, you can peel the onion back in any direction, and you'll find that, you know, here's an organization that's really, truly trying to do something for the environment and puts the environment first ahead of making a profit.
Okay, that's great. Well, as I said, the show is gonna it will end at 7:30, and the number you called in on, is that okay to call you on?
Absolutely.
Okay, because I have some ideas. I always have ideas.
I appreciate it. We need all the ideas we can get.
Yeah. All right. So I'll talk to you in about a half hour or so. Okay.
Sounds good. Thanks for the opportunity. Take care.
Sure. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Oh, yes. That's love the stuff. Really love the stuff. Okay. Well, I was going to play some music, but it looks like I have the next caller. Look, let me just have this guy explain the whole thing to you. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sean.
Hiya.
Hi, I'm calling from yourfatchance.com.
Okay.
anyone briefed you about our story this just yesterday in New York?
Uh-huh.
Well, we took a busload of folks down to the parade for St. Patrick's Day, and we dressed up in pink. We're promoting our new website, yourfatchance.com, which is it's a competition in these gloomy times to try and grab people's spirits and lift them somewhat. We're encouraging people to tell us their tough luck stories and encouraging people to make them as funny and humorous as possible. And then we're going to get people to vote on what are the best ones so that we can give away some vacation prizes to those that make us laugh and lift our spirits and help turn people's luck around. So a bunch of us went down to New York, and we gave out four-leaf clovers with scratch cards for prizes to get people to look at our website, which is basically a pink hippo who floats around and encourages you to tell your stories and spread your good luck and send on to your friends the hippo with your face. Attach the hippo. It's got a little widget in it that allows you to do that with your own photograph. And it's really just trying to create a bit of good feeling in these times. So we had a lot of fun yesterday doing this in the city, and we gave out these beads as well, yourfatchance.com beads, and lots of people coming away from the parade wearing them. We were very happy.
Huh, that's pretty cool. What can people win?
People can win. We've got the two top prizes. The top prize is a vacation worth up to $2,500 with $2,000 spending money for the vacation. And the runner-up prize is a second vacation valued up to $1,500. And then everyone else who gets selected for the shortlist of the 25 best tough luck stories receive some EV rentals goodies that we have.
Oh, cool.
So
in other words, it's being able to take your tough luck story and make it funny. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, that's effectively what it's about. It's trying to look on the lighter side of bad luck, if that's possible, and tell us your story of a day or a time or situation in which things haven't gone particularly your way, and then in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, luck of the Irish, we'll turn it around and make it worth your while. Try and balance that bad luck with a bit of good luck.
Oh, okay. So in other words, people are really relating their bad luck stories, but not necessarily making them humorous. Or is that what I'm getting?
We want them to be humorous. We don't want them to be the, some really seriously bad luck. Misfortunes, I think, is probably better than tough luck. Misfortunes.
Right.
Funny, humorous stories. And we've got a free text thing on the website where up to 100 words, so it has to be fairly short and punchy.
Up to 100 words. Wow, that's not much.
And then we'll choose the best 25 that we think the team will think here the best 25, and then let people come in and vote, and then choose the best one. And then the best one we'll announce on May the 13th for the vacation and the prize money.
Now, just curiosity, is there a way for you to check whether this was, whether somebody was just making it up?
That's a good question. No, we don't. But in the spirit of what it's meant for, it's not only about the individuals entering, it's about light relief stories as well for people looking on and seeing the hippo. And the hippo is essentially a fairy. He's a big hippo. We're waving a wand and trying to turn the bad luck into good luck. And They're made up. I don't know. I mean, if they're funny stories anyway, then I don't know. We'd hope that people had some integrity about going on the website, but we've not got an army of police out there checking the stories. It's a bit of fun, really.
Now I understand that the prizes have to do with a particular company or particular.
Yeah, they do. I mean, our parent company is Endless Vacation Rentals, we like everyone else. Bookings are tricky in this period, so we've got some stock, we've got some inventory that we need to move, and we're encouraging people we're giving some of it away effectively and trying to make a life side of it and spread awareness as well. We're still pretty small, We're part of a larger organization, but we're a small company, and it's good to spread the word through something humorous rather than sort of traditional marketing techniques.
Okay. Now, just because, like, people are going to say, oh, I'm really skeptic about this, and they're really going to ask me for some money. Well, what's the thing with that?
No, not at all. I mean, we have a website that we're very proud of, our direct-to-consumer website, endlessvacationrentals.com. Not a lot of people know we're out there, so we're not asking people for any money at all. We just want people to go and take a look and have a look and see if it's good or not. The winners are winners. No catch, no strings attached. We've got bags of vacations to sell and to give away, so we're giving a couple away.
Oh, no okay. Strings. So in other words, there's no thing like, well, because these are the kind of things that happen. You know, you want a vacation, but we're going to charge you a fee. Yeah. Or the other one, which is you want a vacation, but you have to book your airline through us.
No, we don't sell air, so you'd have to make your own way there, unfortunately, unless you choose one of the vacations closer to home. And we have properties in anything from right here on the Jersey coast to Tuscany in Italy to even to some in Australia. So we've got vacation rentals right around the world. And yeah, if you want air, want flight seats as well, I'm afraid you have to get your own ones of those. But no, there's no catch whatsoever. As I say, we're a small website. We're just starting out. And
right.
In the scheme of things, if people come and play and have a look and take a look at the website and log in and register with us, then you know what better way than to reward people for coming and taking a look and giving away a couple of vacations?
Sure. Now, are they timeshares?
No, there's the resort, some are resort condominiums where the resorts are mixed use or beachfront locations, but they also range into. In Tuscany, we have individual homes, rural retreats, and we even have a couple of castles in the UK through that are provided by sister rental companies. So no, it's all sorts. By and large, they're non-hotel. They're self-catered condominiums or individual self-catered homes. So the theme really is space. They have space, and they're quite family orientated. But no, apart from that, the range is broad. It's pretty much everything that's not hotel.
Oh well, that's pretty great. In other words, are they mostly spaces? In other words, I guess I don't think of a castle though. But in other words, that you have a kitchen and things like that.
They would invariably have 99% of these will have kitchens and one or two bedrooms and separate living space.
Right.
And there's a really broad range. We've gone for quite a scattergun on this. We do thousands of rentals, but as I say, it's still relatively small, and we have feeds from sister companies in Europe that provide us with this inventory. So the range is broader. The searching is a lot of fun as well. The website is quite easy to use, and it's all bookable online as well. So there's no having to call into any agent or anything. You can take a look, and the prices typically they're 7-night stays. But what we find is that some really aggressive low prices on there that mean that people book them and then stay for 3 or 4 nights if they want to as well, because we wanted to go for online booking capabilities, but that somewhat limited the durations we could offer. So they're mostly 7 nights, but it's flexible on how long you want to stay, and very aggressive prices.
Oh, okay.
They range from anything from, we have some properties out there at $300, $350 a week, right up to, I think there's a place in Tuscany which is outrageously beautiful, but I think it's like $5,000 for a week. So there's a whole broad spectrum of product in there.
So with the contest, with the winning, will people get to choose where they want to go?
Yeah. So if they look at Endless Vacations Rentals, EVR, evrentals.com, have a look around and check the look at the properties and basically look at that ceiling price and anything you see.
I'm just saying that if somebody wins.
Oh yeah, they get to choose.
Okay, so in other words, if they want to go to Tuscany, they can do it.
Yeah, if it's on our website and it's at 2,500 or lower, which there's plenty of holidays out there, vacations out there at that price, and yep.
Okay.
Yep. Got to make their own way there.
that's great. So, but of course,
I mean, really want to make a little bit of fun out of the
the hippo
on Your Fat Chance. We got this URL, website, yourfatchance.com, which has, it's quite good. I like this hippo because you can get your face, you can surf your own photos and put your own face or the face of a friend on the hippo and then send some good luck. The hippo goes as an attachment on the email and then flies off to someone else, and the hippo then flies around the screen of the person you send it to. So it's all quite fun. We quite like the logo, which we sort of unashamedly wore on our shirts, bright pink shirts in Manhattan yesterday. Had a lot of fun because we stood out somewhat wearing pink when everyone else was a sea of green.
I guess so. I think that's pretty cool. I guess I'll have to take you guys up on this and try to get a place, and then I can write about wherever I'm at, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, contact and I think you'll have my number, right? And we can, give us a call and check out the yourfatchance.com and see what it's all about with the pink hippo. And then check out the parent company, Endless Vacation Rentals, as well, to see the kind of holidays that we have, vacations. I keep saying holidays. I've been in the U.S. long enough. Vacations. vacations that we have and see what we've got.
Okay. That's really great. So, again, the website is?
The website for the competition is yourfatchance.com.
Okay.
And the rentals that we do are under EV Rentals, EV for Victoria, rentals.com.
Okay.
Or Google Endless Vacation Rentals, and you'll find us.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I'll certainly be in touch with you on this. I want to follow up. We'll see if we can follow up and see, who won and what the story was, huh?
Yeah, good thing. May the 13th, we draw it. So good chance for people to think up the stories and edit them down how they want them and then post them up. And good luck to everyone.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for calling in on this. I think this is a cool idea, you know. For people to think about what the bad luck, because a lot of times, it's bad luck, and then you start thinking about it and you realize how funny it was.
Yeah, that's the kind of story we want. We don't want real serious stuff, that's beyond the sort of patronizing.
Oh, sure. Tag.
Yeah, it's tough luck stuff. It's not disasters. It's a bit of a lighter side of thinking everything seems bad, and lift our heads up a bit, look around and realize some good things still going on, and chin up America, I think.
Right. All right, great. Okay, thanks again for calling in, and I'll speak to you a little later. We can see what we can do to... as I said, to follow up on this and really enjoy the contest.
Thanks very much for your time. That's great.
You're very welcome.
Good evening.
Yeah, you too.
Pleasure,
bye-bye. Okay. So, yes, people. Look at that. We got to figure something that happened on your vacation, your holiday.
Okay.
Yeah, you get on your holiday. Well, I guess any... vacation. Barbara, I know. I have enough stories. I realize that. I'm thinking about that. But anyway. anyhow, I am going to end a little earlier instead of having the whole show. I think I got a nice bit of info on the show. I'm going to eventually change the ending to my show. What I'm doing next week, hopefully, okay. Thursday. Thursday, I'm trying to see if I can do the show at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Standard Time to talk about Seneca Falls. Because I am attending a Women's History Month event in New York City, having to do with the council, the New York City Council, the Women's Caucus, and I want to make sure I can get the show done on Seneca Falls. So that'll be what's happening. So until then, have a great day, evening, or whatever. Let me find. Well, I guess you get the beginning intro. So take care, everybody.